Join with me as we pray to understand God's word. By the power of your Spirit, O Lord, make your word become a joy to us and the delight in our hearts. Amen. Our passage reading is going to be Romans 12, 9 through 21. Romans 12. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I thank our sister in Christ for sharing these words of truth that can be trusted. Would you please join with me in prayer? We thank you, Lord, for how you continue to be speaking into our lives in ways of hope and surprise. Help us to remember that it is not we who define you, but you who define us. You define us by grace and love. It's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. I was in the mission field yesterday, and it was over in Phoenix area, Scottsdale. I was going to an Arizona Western College football game, an away game. And that can be a mission field, no question about it. Because you know, when you're at a sporting event, do you see people as they really are? I mean, there are some emotions that come out, there are some things that are said, and there are some really good church folks that share freely, okay, in a lot of different ways. However, I'm not even going to address that right now. I'm going to address driving there. Okay, driving over in Phoenix, Scottsdale area is much different than driving in Yuma. In fact, whenever I first moved here and people started talking about the rush hour in Yuma, it still makes me smile. It really does. Because I drove all over Phoenix and I drove to all sorts of hospitals and I was getting all over that area, and you really learned when and where to drive and how to drive, and there was this kind of aggressiveness that you said, "God, make me bold for this journey." And so yesterday, the brother who was driving, and he's a phenomenal driver and a wonderful mentor, he drives very well, but he happened to cut somebody off, okay? And they honked, okay? And then they scooted around us, and I'm not sure if they were saying hi or not. But there is a phrase that I want to introduce to you, okay? A phrase that I've shared with some of you, and you can use this in certain circumstances like that, okay? You can use this. It's okay. God loves you and I'm trying. Go ahead and say that along. Say that along with me. God loves you and I'm trying. Okay, so isn't that nicer? Okay, you can just say that. Go ahead and release that. It's kind of like a little bit longer than beloved, but you can release it and just lay it before God. And it is a truth and a reality and a joy that we have that is a defining truth and reality and joy in our lives, isn't it? God loves us. And I'm trying. There's a scripture reading that I wanted to go ahead and share with all of you this morning. And we really need to look at this scripture passage, I think, before we get into the reading from Romans. This is a passage from 1 John, and if you're familiar with 1 John at all, you probably know what this is going to be talking about. 1 John chapter 4, 19. You can write that down, or you can look at it in your Bibles, or find it on your tablets or phones if you're following along right now. 1 John chapter 4, 19. We love because He first loved us. We love because He first loved us. Say that along with me. We love because He first loved us. That's a starting point. It's a baseline for everything else that happens. And certainly, as we are looking at this particular passage from Paul, we have to understand that. We have to kind of wrap our minds around that. And in fact, there are times when we are going to struggle with that because quite often we don't particularly feel lovable. Or maybe it's because we haven't received love or haven't seen love or noticed love in our lives. And I'm not talking about a Hallmark kind of love, a Hallmark card kind of love, although I like Hallmark cards and I like cards in general. I'm talking about a love that is nitty-gritty, okay? That helps us in the muck and mire of life. I'm talking about remembering that God loves us whenever we are grieving. I'm talking about remembering that God loves us when we've been hurt, when we've been abused, neglected. I'm talking about remembering that God loves us whenever it seems like there is no love in our lives. God still loves us. God's love never ends. And so we can love because He first loved us. A reality for the early church was to remember that and to then seek to live in a way that shared that kind of love. Now, the early church was defined as kind of a radical gathering. Yeah, they seemed to go against all of the norms. And especially as the Roman imperial reign was gaining in worldly power, the church was gaining in spiritual power. And while in the Roman world, those who were weak were cast aside and ignored and often even killed, what happened with those who were weak in the church? They were embraced, brought in, encouraged, and loved. This is not the first time that in the Bible it says love is going to be oftentimes contrary to what the world values. Okay? In Proverbs, hear these words. They're going to sound very familiar. Proverbs chapter 25, verses 21 and 22. Proverbs chapter 25, verses 21 and 22. If your enemies are hungry, give them bread to eat. If they are thirsty, give them water to drink. For you will heap coals of fire on their heads, and the Lord will reward you. If your enemies are hungry or thirsty, give them, without any strings attached, kind of seems contrary to sometimes the messages that we receive, doesn't it? Now, what's that whole thing about heaping coals on their heads? Well, have you ever heard the phrase, just smile at somebody and make them wonder what you're up to? This is kind of similar. Just keep smiling. Now, if you keep smiling, if you're smiling constantly all the time, maybe people will wonder other things about you. But whenever you are repaying something that's done wrong to you with a kindness or a good, what you're doing is pointing towards God. Certainly, is there something in there that in Proverbs especially that kind of points to, well, maybe you'll guilt them into a better way of action? Yeah, okay, possibly. But what we want to do in our actions is say, I'm not defined by the world. I'm also not defined by what you do to me. And we're thinking about somebody who's wronged us. I'm defined by God. And what did God do first? Loved us. So what is our response? To love. This is a challenge, and there's no question about it. But we would probably do well to adopt what a Paul Farmer does in his work in the medical international community. He travels the world and he establishes clinics to treat chronic diseases like tuberculosis in areas of severe poverty and inadequate health care. And there's a lot of those places around the world. And what Mr. Farmer does, he deals with the medical establishment, various bureaucracies, and local traditions. Can you imagine going into certain parts of the world where there's inadequate health care or treatments and dealing with all of that and trying to get something established? This church has been directly involved in that kind of ministry, that very ministry in Liberia, haven't we? Supporting people in ministry there, sending people there, supporting missionaries in there. But those who are work at the ground level have all of those frustrations and probably again and again and again are muttering to themselves, God loves you and I'm trying, when they're dealing with certain people. But Dr. Farmer has what he says is a hermeneutic of generosity. Now, let me unpack that. A hermeneutic of generosity means evaluating people's actions from an assumption that their motives are good, even if, at first glance, one might suspect the opposite. That's tough. Assuming other people's motives are good. But that's where they're starting from. Even if it really stretches us to do that. I believe that that's going to be something that has to grow in us as individuals and also as a church if we are to heed the words of our scripture reading today. Because whenever we seek to believe that somebody is doing good, even if it really stretches us to think that about that person, then we are more open to how God's grace can work in and through us, not only to that person, but to other people. Does it have to happen in the church first? Yes, it does. Paul is addressing this to the early church. He's addressing it to them, but he's also addressing it to those outside of the church and also to those outside of the church who are going to be coming into the fellowship. So what does that mean for us who are in here right now? Does that mean that anyone who comes to these doors needs to be welcomed? Yes. Does that mean anyone who comes into these doors needs to be extended hospitality? Yes. Does that mean any and all people who come to these doors need to be understanding that this is God's house, not ours, and God loves them? I didn't mean to wake you up there. I'm sorry. Or get your attention. Yes. for us. That's radical. I understand. And there's a different approach that may stretch us and take us out of where we have been. But if we are to live these words, to love boldly, then we may need to be taken out of a comfort zone, because maybe it's not where God has really wanted us. Just because we're in a comfort zone doesn't mean that's where God wants us to be. God may be stretching us, helping us to grow, be even more the people that He wants to work through. After the Atlanta Olympic bombings, at his sentencing hearing, Eric Rudolph apologized for maiming innocent people. His quote, "I would do anything to take back that night," he said, before 24 victims and their families, all of whom had a range of reactions to this man and his words. The reason for noting Eric Rudolph's day in court, an act of hate, an act of violence, an act that caused death and great hurt, the reason for noting that his day in court were the amazing responses of two of his victims. And this speaks of amazing, astounding love. Love that not only stretched these people, but stretches all who hears it, everyone who hears it. The first was that of Fallon Stubbs, the 23-year-old daughter of Alice Hawthorne, who was killed by the Olympic Park bomb. Miss Stubbs, who also was wounded by the bombing, offered Mr. Rudolph forgiveness. "Because of you," she spoke to him, "I have become a tolerant person. Not for you, but for me. I forgive you. I look at you. I love you. And if I cry, it's not for me. It's not for my mother. It's not for my father. It's tears of forgiveness for you." The other victim to whom we call attention is Memory Cresswell, a 37-year-old who was injured by Rudolph's bombing at the Other Side Lounge. Ms. Cresswell reported to reporters after the sentencing hearing, "He rolled his eyes when I said that I'm going to trump his evilness with love for the rest of my days." Astounding, amazing, and a wonderful witness. And yet this is what Paul is speaking to the early church. But more so, every time we read Scripture, is it God speaking into our lives as well? Yes. Yes, church. It's God speaking into our lives. So this is not for somebody here and then. It's for us here and now. How can we love boldly? How can we love without care for what anybody else thinks or says? How can we love and point towards God in that love and through that love? And understand that God's grace is unending and God loves us always and forever because of what He did for us through Christ on the cross. It's a challenge. It takes time. And it's a journey, no question. And remember that one phrase that I taught some of you today and reminded others that will help you through those times whenever it's difficult to love. God loves you. God loves you. Always. Always. How are we channels of that radical, amazing, sustaining, surprising love? God loves us radically. God loves us whenever we don't feel lovable. God loves us always. How are we open to that? How are we sharing it, church? That is our call. This is what we pray about. This is what God calls us to do. Would you join with me in prayer? We thank you, loving God, for that love. For the truth of that love that is very real. Not something that we simply speak of and forget, but something that's lived powerfully and helps us to live powerfully, freely, openly, receiving your grace even more. As we love, we are more open to the love that is already filling us from you and your grace that strengthens us and brings healing and hope. Thank you, Lord, for being at work. Thank you for your call upon our lives as those who claim the name of Christ to love. And it's in the name of our Savior, Jesus, that we pray. Amen.